Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 6 through 14. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for this Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the banks of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Second is from the New Testament, from a short chapter, Galatians 5, verses 1, 13 through 25. And this is the works of the flesh and of the spirit. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. You, through love, became slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are now subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, and dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." So ends our readings.
Thank you, Tom. The two readings that Tom just shared from 2 Kings and Galatians are suggested readings for this Sunday. And as I read them, I wondered why the committee put them together. I frequently do that. I wonder why the Common Lectionary Committee that put the lectionary together chose these readings to put them together. Elijah and Elisha were working in a difficult time for Israel. They were in the northern kingdom at about 9 centuries before the birth of Jesus. And things were not going well up north. The ruling dynasty was not very fit. For most of Elijah's ministry, he was dealing with King Ahab, and the queen we probably know best, Jezebel, a pagan who was advocating worship of Baal. It wasn't only the worship of false gods that was causing difficulty for the dynasty with Yahweh. Because the kings of Israel too frequently demonstrated what Lord Acton said centuries later, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then we have this story about the end of Elijah's life and Elisha taking on the mantle, asking for twice the Spirit. It's tough to really understand what might be going on in both of their minds at this point. Perhaps Elijah is having a hard time accepting that the end is at hand. Perhaps Elisha is afraid. Although he wasn't Elijah's son, he treated Elijah as if he was his father. And so he asked for double the inheritance of the gift of the Spirit. And so this little story is full of all kinds of signs, some dramatic, like the fiery chariots and fiery horses and the whirlwinds, and some not so, about Elisha responding to God's call and being confident after he picks up the mantle of God's presence and God's strength. It's a story about the transfer of authority, about the changes that happen in life, transitions, endings, new beginnings. Not always as dramatic as fiery chariots, but just as frequently occurring. We in this church are in a transition time. I'm an interim pastor and will be here only a short time. We've selected a search committee to begin to find another pastor. And then pastoral authority will be passed to someone else. But I think this time in the story is about more than the transferring of the authority of the prophet or the pastor of a church. It's about how we all respond to God's call. And then we've got this other text from Galatians 5, where we have the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I used a portion of that text a week ago Saturday in Bob Porter's service, where we lifted up the fruits of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And Paul contrasts the fruits of the Spirit with the works of the flesh that Tom just read. Jealousy and anger and strife and envy and drunkenness, idolatry, dissensions. What Paul calls the works of the flesh are human nature at its worst, uncontrolled by community or by faith. And it can be a description, if you will, of the dynasty of Ahab and the works of Jezebel in 2 Kings. I think it's the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and the questions about how we respond to the call of God, and how we manifest the fruits of the Spirit in our own lives that can tie these disparate texts together. How do we respond to God's call on our life? And how do we choose to live our lives? Do we manifest the fruits of the Spirit, of gentleness, of peace, of joy, of generosity, of self-control? Or do we let our base human nature take control and bite and devour each other, as the text says, and live with jealousy and envy and strife? May we respond to God's call by manifesting the fruits of the Spirit in our common life and in our individual lives. Amen.